Peter chapter 2. Who remembers an old rock group from the 70s called Shem, Ham, and the Pharaohs?
Yes.
Ham the Sham is what it was. Ham the Sham and the Pharaohs. Okay? Had it mixed up. Ham the Sham and the Pharaohs. They sang a song called "Hey There, Little Red Riding Hood, You Sure Are Looking Good." Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you stop and think about the songs that we used to listen to, and you just kind of go back with spiritual eyes and re-examine them, and you go, ooh, wow. Gary, on the bottom, okay, yeah, on the left, the left. I turn it down because I'm getting a little ring there. I think, all right, that did it, perfect. But anyway, they sang this song, "Hey There, Little Red Riding Hood, You Sure Are Looking Good." That song is about a sexual predator on the prowl. It's nothing more than that, okay. But it's indicative of a wolf nature. Okay, wolves in sheep's clothing is what we're talking about. Paul was warning there, the churches there, that there would come in grievous wolves and they would not spare the flock. And have you ever noticed that sin never stops? Okay, it never stops and it never sleeps. There should be a watchman attitude and a watchman spirit about our own personal lives.
Yes.
24 hours of the day. In fact, when it seems like it's time to rest, that's when somebody needs to be watching. Amen? That's when somebody needs to be watching. Military posts, military compounds, they'll post guards throughout during the day. But they'll double the guards at night, just because. And so sin never stops, it never slows down, it never lets up. You'll don't believe, please. And I love you, and I care about you. Don't let any fool tell you that you can achieve this spiritual nirvana to where you'll never want to sin ever again. Don't believe that. Okay? Don't believe it. It's not true. Now, when we have these bodies redeemed, then we will be free from this. But don't let anybody tell you. And I've had people say, "Oh, man, I tell you what, God touched me and I just don't sin anymore." Thou shalt not bear false witness. I'm going to preach on that this morning. But anyway, the wolves will keep coming. They'll not slow down. They'll not stop. a lot of times they'll operate in packs. They'll come in groups. Somebody sent me an email this week. It was really good. And it was talking about how do you know if your pastor is a wolf. And one of the things was, if your church or your pastor invites a false prophet to speak, wolves always operate in packs. Okay? He's one of them. And so anyway, I promise you, I will not ever invite Benny Hinn here.
Amen.
To blow on you. Okay? I won't do it. Joyce is not coming. Creflo's not coming. Okay, Rob Bell, the guy that doesn't believe in hell anymore, is not coming. And so anyway, guys that stand behind the pulpit here at this church have been tested. I know them, and I'm praying about somebody to invite here real quick to come preach for us a few nights. So you help me pray about that, all right? But anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2, there were false prophets also among the people. Even as that, there shall be false teachers among you who privily, that means secretly, privately, doing everything in secret, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That means they'll hate the true gospel, they'll hate the true Jesus, they'll hate the true Bible, they'll hate all of those things, and they will speak evil against it. And like I said last week, it's not the guys that just really are uncertain about which Bible to follow after. It's the guys who say, don't even bother reading that King James. That's a bunch of trash, but nobody uses that anymore. That's you've got a wolf, or someone that is learning wolfish ways. Now in verse 3, the Bible says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Let's look at some words here. Number one, covetousness. That is, if the Lord allows it, I will preach on the sin of covetousness next Sunday morning. But covetousness, that means that their motivation. The Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. What is a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a ministry leader? What is his motivation for doing what he's doing? If he's wanting to serve the Lord, then he'll serve the Lord. If he's wanting to see lost people saved, then lost people will be saved. But I've been around and I know some guys that are like this. They're very covetous. And nobody is ever boastful about being covetous. Okay, they're very private about it, especially preachers and pastors. But the motivation for wanting a big church, what in your opinion, what would be the for a pastor to come in, and what would be his prime motivation for wanting a big church? And this is, there you go, okay? This is the language of symbolism, and everybody knows what this is, right? You just picture hundreds of dollar bills being, you know, touched in that deal. Over and over and over again, I get responses from people who say, Pastor Mike, we got us a new pastor, got us a big hot rod pastor that came in. And he's hit the ground running, and he wants this church to be double size in a year. Okay? That's what he wants. And I can just about tell you why he wants that. Okay? I can just about tell you why he wants it. He wants the notoriety amongst his fellows. He wants his name spoken of somewhere in a magazine or a periodical or at a meeting or at a gathering. He wants his name thrown out there. That says, boy, this guy's a real mover and shaker. Boy, he can really get this thing going. Boy, this guy can do this. This guy can do that. He wants his resume filled out so that when he's done with that church, and if a pastor has it in his mind that he's using a church as a springboard to get another church, he's not a shepherd. He's a hireling. And you go study what Jesus said about hirelings. Hirelings don't care about the flock. Hirelings, when it's quitting time, they'll go home. They don't want anybody to bother them. The hirelings don't care about the sheep that are in that fold. All they care about is payday and quitting time. But anyway, covetousness is one of the things that drives and compels a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers, a lot of missionaries, or I don't know so much missionaries. I can tell you, if you're going to do missionary work, you normally do not have covetousness as your nature. Okay, missionary work does not pay well. The benefits are always eternal, not temporal. Okay, but anyway, they will, through covetousness, they have it in their mind to get paid a lot of money, and to have a lot of benefits, to have a nice house, whatever it is. That is their motivation for doing that. It's sort of like a corporate Christianity. They're moving up the ladder. Through covetousness, shall they with feigned words. The word feigned means not true. Okay. It's not real. It's not established. It's not. It has no basis in truth. And so, in other words, now feigned words. Don't you think about this? Anytime you see the word "words" in the Bible, it's either going to describe the true word of God or it's going to describe a word that is untrue. Okay? Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." And so, he was referring to the Bible, the words that are in the Bible. And I want you to notice how they'll do it. See, the Bible is just going to reveal to you how. The Bible is going to reveal to you the motivations and the methods of false teachers and wolves. Okay? Their prime motivation is covetousness. Why does a wolf Why do they work in packs, and why do they try to corner an animal? What is their goal? Covetousness. Okay, they see it, they want it. It's an instinct. It's a primal instinct. They got to eat. That's their motivation, is to devour. Okay, but anyway, they shall with feigned words. That means, number one, they will not be using real Bibles. Okay, they will not be using real Bibles. That is an indication. I'm not saying I cannot judge in this matter, because at one time I was on the other side of this, and somebody could have rightly called me a wolf. Okay? And God spared me. But I'm just telling you, just start. There's a checklist to go down. Just start going down the checklist. Okay? You know, people will, you know, they want to hear from us that we're using the King James Bible. Let me address this. Some of you may or may not know what this is. Jan know what this is. We get a lot of questions from people. Usually about twice a month, somebody's calling, writing us, or whatever, asking us if we're a 501c3 church. Okay? Jan knows a little bit about that. There are churches that are there and churches that are not. There's been some videos put out, some guys out there that are saying that a 501c3 church is nothing but a branch of the United States government, and they're a government-run church, a government-owned church, and they're a sellout. This and that and the other. I don't know exactly the tax laws concerning 501c3. But it's the idea that if you are a 501c3 church, you're not even worth putting any time into, not even worth going to, because all you're going to do is just do what the government tells you to do. That is not necessarily true. Last year, there was a group of churches and group of pastors, and I don't know who they were, don't know how they were affiliated to this and that and the other. But typically, the IRS, over the last several years, the IRS has this rule that says, if you're a 501c3 church, tax deductible, this and that and the other, you cannot promote a political candidate. Okay? Now, that's funny, because every time I see a Democrat on TV, he's at some church somewhere. Okay, so it's always fishy to me. Okay, it's one of those rules that gets applied here, but doesn't get applied there. Okay, last year there was a group of pastors from all over the country that kind of got together, and they said, on this Sunday, on such and such Sunday, we are going to preach politics. We're not going to back down. We're going to support this, and we're going to say this, and we dare the IRS to come after us. We dare them to. Okay. I appreciate that. I think that's admirable. Amen? Take a stand. Learn how to take a stand. A church that will take a stand on some issues, maybe there's some hope in them. Okay? But anyway, being a 501c3 church, you never know. Let's say that God called me to some other church, and I left and I went to some church that was 501c3. That doesn't make me a wolf, and that doesn't make the church a wolf in sheep's clothes. It doesn't make it a false church. Okay? Some guys just don't know all the issues. Okay? Now, we are not a 501c3 church, and according to our tax expert, we don't have to be. We're a church. Amen?
Amen.
Are we still a church? Okay? So we're a church. And so if you pay tithes here, that's recorded. And if you want to, you can take that off your taxes. And I support that. And the reason why I support it is, any less money that I can send to the United States federal government is okay with me.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Okay. Some people choose not to do that, and that's fine. That's no big deal. But what I'm saying is, don't just pick one issue and say this is a false church because they do not meet my one criteria here. Okay. Judge not before the time, the Bible says. Okay? Judge not before the time. But what we're doing here is we're giving you a checklist of things to look at in a ministry or a church or an individual or listen, even in normal everyday life. Okay? Let's say at the workplace. Jared, let's say at your workplace, there's a checklist here that you can see. You know there's guys out there that are not in it for anybody but them. Okay? And they will say, do anything against anybody else to benefit them and to bring everybody else down. You know people like that. Would you like to declare them publicly? No. Okay. Okay. We're naming names here. So this is a checklist. Okay. And so you just kind of, the more checks that you mark against something, the, you know, more likely you got a wolf here. Through covetousness they shall with feigned words. That means they will use the wrong Bible. Okay? They will not use the true words of Jesus Christ. They'll use false Bibles. They'll use dreams and visions. They'll use prophecies. They'll use everything else in the world. In fact, they will, and this really gets on my nerves. It's not indicative of a wolf. I heard a guy preach a sermon last year. He was a good guy, good King James guy. But he had kind of got into this saying. He had heard other preachers quote other men. Okay? And I'm talking about, now, Winston Churchill once said, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And then Abraham Lincoln said, and, you know, such and such said. That's fine. That's good that they said that. Okay? But that's not the Word of God. That is not the seed of the Word of God. That will not save somebody's soul. And what's behind that is that it's this thinking that, it's this radical thinking that, well, people won't listen to the Bible, but they'll listen to somebody else. Well, if that's who they're going to follow, let them follow them. Let them build them a little temple somewhere and put their name on it and go to that church every Sunday. But this is the church of Jesus Christ. Okay? And you could even say of the Latter-day Saints, because I believe we're in the latter days and we're the saints. Amen? Okay? This is the church of Jesus Christ, and we're going to preach and proclaim His Word. I don't care what anybody else says about it. This is what we're going to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. So just kind of listen. Listen to what's being preached and how it's being preached. There, if you go to Bible bookstores, there are sermon help books that is just nothing but collections of quotations of famous people that pastors can inject into their sermons. I do not have one of those. I don't own it. I don't want it. At one time, Jim, I thought, well, you know, I've heard people do that. Maybe I ought to get one of those and look for things to put in my sermon. Okay? And I just would rather dig up Scripture and put it in there. It just seems to work better. So you got to watch out for the kind of words that they're using. They're not using stable, good, biblical words. They're going to use feigned words. Okay? Lying words. They're going to make merchandise of you. That means you're for sale as far as they're concerned. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, God knows who they are, and God's going to get them. All right? Now in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to where? Hell. There's two groups of angels that have been cast out of heaven. Okay? One group is cast down to the earth. That's Revelation 12. Okay? There's another group that did not pass go, did not collect $200. They were cast straight down into prison. Okay? They were unruly, or for, you know, what, the, and, you know, we just chase through the Bible what they did and why they did it. But God did not spare them. He put them in chains of darkness, the Bible says. I think it's in the book of Jude. Cast them down to hell and deliver them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. They're still there awaiting trial. Okay, it's just like if somebody commits a crime and they're taken, they're arrested, and the judge revokes bail on them, and they got to stay in jail, in the city jail or the county jail, until their trial happens. They have to be in jail until their trial happens, and that's when their judgment is going to be pronounced. And then verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Study the word flood in the Bible. Interesting study. Okay? Study flood or floods. Okay? Things that overflow. A lot of wisdom in that. Okay? Verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. The area where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be, the Bible tells you back in Genesis that at one time it was the well-watered plain of Sodom. Okay? At one time, it was probably the best, richest farmland probably in the world. Okay, that was the area of Sodom. That's where Lot wanted to go. Okay, when you go to those areas now, it doesn't rain. I mean, I'm not saying it does not rain. Okay, it does not rain there. Nothing grows. Almost nothing lives there. Okay, there are some places on this earth that are the most inhospitable places for life to exist, and the area of Sodom and Gomorrah is one of those places. Okay, and God did that for a reason. Okay, that by the way, God's in charge of climate change.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And Al Gore can't stop him.
Amen.
Okay, clown. You know what he's doing now? He's moaning and groaning and complaining because the climate change movement or the anti-climate change movement doesn't have sufficient funding now. Get in line, Al. Amen? The potholes on your road don't have sufficient funding now either. Okay? Everybody's we have no more money, and yet everybody's wanting more money. Too bad. Okay? Turning them into ashes, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. That is something that we all need to take to heart, people. Okay? What is it that prevents, let's be honest, and I talked about this last week, in dealing with the commandments and so on, that thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. What is it that keeps us from stealing? What is it that, it's not that we don't want to. What is it that keeps us from committing adultery? What is it that keeps us from lusting? What is it that keeps us from, breaking God's commandments? It's fear. It's fear. I know and I've seen what God can do. And that scares me. I have a hell of people. And people say, well, it says to fear the Lord, but it doesn't really mean to fear God. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. Or it wouldn't say it. It'd say something different. And I know what God can do. I've seen what God can do. I've seen what God has done. Okay? And I love this story. I never, one time, allowed my mother to tie a string to a loose tooth in my mouth and tie the other end to a door. I had never let my mom do it. Do you know why? Because I remember vividly her doing that to my older sister. Slam! Ah! Slam! Ah! Who dreamed that up? They belong in prison for thinking. Whoever invented that needs to go to prison. I watched my sister go through that, and I went. And when I felt a loose tooth, I kept my mouth shut until I could work it out with my tongue. Mom, I got a loose tooth. You're not tying a string onto my teeth. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Sodom was an example. Was meant to be an example. Public hangings were meant to be an example, weren't they? That was to send a strong message. You break the law in our town, this is how you'll end up. And I believe in examples. Okay? We've done away with the examples. We can't embarrass anybody. Everything has to be done. And so now, I mean, you whipped your kids in front of other kids, didn't you? Okay? Back in the old days? Okay? And they were all going. And all the rest of the kids were good after that one. Okay? But we've lost that nowadays. Verse 7, God delivered just Lot. Now I want you to look at that. That is an interesting phrase. When you examine Lot's life as listed in the Old Testament, You don't see a lot of righteousness in his life. Okay? You just don't see a lot of righteousness in his life. Okay? He got drunk, slept with his own daughters. Okay? Committed incest. That's how Ammon and Moab came about. Okay? Was nearly complicit with the Sodomites who lived in that land. Did not want them to mess with the angels, but he didn't mind throwing his daughters out there. Okay? He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and then the next thing we see, he's in Sodom at the gates. Okay? You don't see a lot of justice on Lot. And I suppose if you were to look and examine the life of Mike Hoggard, you wouldn't see a lot of justice on my part. But we're not justified. I am not justified by my actions or by my deeds, because I cannot justify my own actions. We are justified by the righteousness of Christ. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
You are too. If we were to just get down to it and examine the intricate details of your life, you're not a just person. You're not very good. So let's be... I'm going to preach on honesty this morning. Amen? And one of the things that I want to be is at least honest. And not try to be something that I'm not. I've tried that before. I preached it to the young people. Just be who you are. Okay? What was that, Wednesday night? And so anyway. But let's be honest about who we are. We're not very good people on the inside. None of us are. But we're justified freely by Christ Jesus. The delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth, look at verse 9 now, and underline this in your Bible, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Listen, God knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. In fact, God knows how to do it better than you do. He's very, very good at delivering us and keeping us, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Verse 10. And now we're going to get back to the wolves. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Okay? So a wolf in sheep's clothing will be drawn and tempted by the lust of his flesh, the lust of his eyes or the lust of his flesh. He or she will be drawn by those two deals there. Okay? They walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And number two, they despise government. That's something you just kind of mark down in your mind and in your heart. They despise government. They do not want anybody looking over their shoulder. Okay? They do not want anybody looking at their text messages, their emails. They don't look. And we're supposed to live in a free country. But I can tell you that in the last 10 years, there is someone reading your emails. There is someone looking at your text messages and listening to your phone calls. Do you know that? Do you know that? Okay? There is. It's not make-believe. It's not some fantasy, sci-fi conspiracy theory. This is known fact. Okay? And so, yeah, your life is open. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have a problem with that. Okay. Every now and then I'll see my wife with my cell phone. Mm-hmm. That does not make me go, oh, hon, I need that. I need to make a phone call real quick. I don't care. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. But anyway, they despise government. They despise authority of any kind. Witches don't like bosses. Witches like to be the boss. Okay? They're male and female Wiccans and wizards and witches. They hate any kind of authority over their life. And if you just want a spot, you start looking for a wolf. Start looking for someone who the rules don't apply to them. Okay, the rules never apply to them. That's for everybody else to keep everybody in line, else in line. But as far as they're concerned, nobody tells them what to do. Nobody rules over them. Nobody tells them. I've heard this from people. I don't go to that. I don't go to that church. I don't like how that preacher preaches. Well, yeah, this happened here. There's a reason for that. Okay, it's because you got a wolf nature. Wolves don't like shepherds. Amen. Lambs do. Lambs love their shepherds. Okay? And they will respond to his voice. They'll respond to his commands. They'll respond to the things that he tells them to do. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And it doesn't sound like, "Ooh." Okay? Like Ham, the Sham, and the Pharaohs. That's what he did in that song. Was he went, "Ooh." I mean, And I would just kind of mark it down in your own mind and in your own life. How do I respond? How do I respond to rules and regulations? How do I respond to authority over me? If I'm on the job site and there is a job foreman or a manager, okay, that is over me, how do I respond to them? Okay, how do I respond to what I'm being told to do at the job site, or at the office, or at the restaurant, or whatever it is? How do I respond to that? In a home, okay. A young man that'll go around mom and dad to get to the daughter. Okay, you got to be careful about that. It just applies in every realm of life. They despise government. Presumptuous are they? Presumptuous are they? You know what that means? That means I'll sin now and God will forgive me later. Okay? I'll sin now and God will forgive me later. It'd be kind of like, Megan, you'll get a kick out of this. It'd be kind of like me inviting Bradley out to lunch and then expecting him to pay the bill. Right? Okay? Just get up and walk off from the table, leave him sitting there, and just kind of scoot the check over toward him, okay, and just get up and go out and sit in the car. You know what that is? That's presumptuous.
Yeah.
It's rude. Amen? Yeah. Presumptuous is, I'll sin now and make God pay the bill later. It'll be okay, because God's good. You're never, ever, ever to use the grace of God that way. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? And I listen, and the reason why you're amen in that, because everybody in here, the devil has stood on this shoulder, yeah, whispered in this ear, God will forgive it.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, you know what? You're right. And isn't that interesting? Because the devil stood right there with Jesus in the wilderness and said, jump. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. You know what that means? They will not follow the Bible. They'll follow their own ideas and they'll follow their own whims and they'll follow everything else, but they will not follow the Scripture. They are self-willed and they want everybody to mold to that will. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Okay, they're not afraid of that. They have no fear in them and they'll just speak and cut everything down and this and that and the other. Now, the bell rang and I'm going to stop here. I want us to pray, and I want you to ask God to just help you. Number one, help you not be a wolf. Because, listen, I've got it in me. I'm being dead honest. I have got a little wolf in me, and I don't like it. I hate it. Okay? And I guarantee you, just about any list of sin that you can find in the Bible, you're guilty of at least one of them. Okay? You'll start sweating when you get to one of them and go, whew. Okay? And the same applies here in this list of those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. If we were to be honest with ourselves, I didn't say you have to get up and tell everybody exactly who you are, but if you'd be honest with yourself, you go back down this list and you'll see yourself here. Somehow, some way. Okay? That doesn't make you a wolf. It just lets you know that you've got it in you. And you need to get it under the blood. Sound good?
Amen.
Get it under the blood. Okay? Heavenly Father, I love you. And Lord, this Bible, it convicts my soul. Father, I have been guilty, Lord, in the past. Lord, I'd be presumptuous to say that I would never, ever, ever, ever be guilty again. But God, I recognize this wolf because I know who it is. And Father, Lord, it's your word that keeps me set straight. And I need this word. I need this Bible. I need this guidebook, this rule book. Lord, Father, the truth of it is, Lord, we all need the rules and the rule book in our unruly lives. Lord, help us to not be wolves. God, help us to not be wolves. And Lord, Father, give us wisdom and just give us wisdom and vision, dear God, to help us to see things that would come our way. Let us be a blessing to one another, please, God. Let us be a blessing to this church. And let us be a blessing to you, Father, in your kingdom. That's all we want to be.
Amen.
That's all we want to be, God. Give us your grace and your help, we pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. Have you ever known somebody that got, just unglued, offended at somebody calling them a liar? You ever seen somebody do that? You called me a liar! You ever seen somebody do it? Have you ever done that? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a question. And this is a hand-raising deal. Okay. Who in here has ever lied? Raise your hand. Our two visitors from Kansas City did not raise their hand. Oh, okay. I shouldn't be mean to them. They come all the way down here to visit us, and I shouldn't be mean to them. Appreciate your honesty. Everybody in here has lied. Okay? Everybody in here has lied probably since they got saved. We do not bear a true witness. Okay, and there's a lot of things in this, and I'm going to try to get to it here in a little bit. And I've got a list of things that we ought to be honest about or not be a false witness in. And if you think of anything else that you think we should jump in here with, then go right on ahead. But God, you just remember, these are the commandments of God. These are not His suggestions. These are what He told us not to do. And this is one of those situations. It's been a whole list of these sermons that we've preached that I thought it was a good idea, and I still do. I think it's a good idea for us as true born-again believing Christians to just step back and just to see just how unright we are at times in our life. Okay? If anybody ever comes to this church, or anybody ever sees anything on the internet about our church, I want it known that this is a very, very imperfect congregation of people here. Amen? Listen, that's not a boast. That's not false humility. That's not anything about it. That is the God's honest truth about us. We're not here, and we don't expect to go to heaven by our own righteousness, because we have none. We have zero righteousness in us. And any righteousness that we might have, God considers to be a filthy rag to begin with. And so I'm going to just preach a little bit on just being an honest church. Okay? You know what an honest church does? They'll come down to the altar. When the pastor's preaching on something specific, okay? And the pastor's preaching about sins, and he's naming sins and things like that, things that we're guilty of. The Holy Ghost puts you under conviction, and you won't mind coming down here one of these altars and saying, God, I need help in my life. That's an honest church. Okay? That is an honest witness. It's not that it's not that we send a message out saying we never do anything wrong now because we're Christians and we're part of Bethel Church and we believe the Bible. The truth of it is, we become an honest witness. We'll at least confess our sins to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. Can I hear you say amen? But these are not just God's suggestions to us. They're His commandments. There are things that He said, thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt do this. And the truth of it is, all of us have been dishonest in some way or another. And so this morning, I just want to kind of go through some scriptures. I probably put more scriptures than I can preach today, which is fine. I'd rather have more than less. And I'll just let God lead me as to how I preach this thing. And that way God will get the glory and I won't. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. The Bible says this. Now I want you to pay attention to the words that are being said here. Okay? And I will say that a better translation does not exist of this. Amen? Okay? There is no better translation. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Okay? Now, I've heard some people use that as a loophole saying it is okay to lie. It's just that you can't lie about your neighbor. Okay? Well, the Bible covers that base too. It's just like they said about thou shalt not kill. That means don't take any animal life, don't do anything like that. How are you going to eat? In order to eat, you got to kill something. Amen? You got to kill celery, you got to kill lettuce, or whatever. In order to eat, you've got to kill. That does not mean that. And the Bible will define the Bible. It means thou shalt not murder. Do no murder. Okay? But anyway, this says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And I want you to think about that. Think about how the Bible explains it, how the Bible lays it out. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Father, I find at times that it's difficult to be honest. It's difficult, God. My flesh does not like honesty. It hates it. It loves every false way, God. And Lord Father, I've been guilty, Lord, of lying before. I've been guilty, dear God, of saying things that were not true. I've been guilty, Lord, of all kinds of stuff. And Father, Lord, I want to be honest to you. And I don't want to lie to you because you've never lied to me. And Father, it wouldn't do any good for me to lie to you, God. You know all and see all anyway, God. And it just wouldn't be fruitful. But Father, Lord, if there's an issue, dear God, that we probably deal with more than we like to admit, Lord, it's about our honesty. And Lord, our flesh does not want to be honest. It wants to hide things. It wants to keep everything. It just wants to just cover it up. But Father, Lord, just help us to be honest, dear God. Help us to be, Lord, Father, just bear the fruitful witness, dear God, of an honest testimony, an honest soul, dear God, and have our conscience clean before you. Lord, help me to preach this message. Lord, Father, there's a little spiritual battle going on, dear God, and I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, to bless. And Lord, I have confidence in you and trust in you. And Father, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just open up our eyes and help us to see how we are and how we need to be. And Father, Lord, in preaching this, dear God, we thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you for mercy, dear God. We thank you for forgiveness. And we ask, God, Lord, that you would just fill this room with that spirit today. And help us to be honest before you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let me read some scriptures. The verse said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And like I said, some people always looking for a loophole in the Bible. They say, well, you know, it doesn't say that you're not supposed to lie. It just says you're not supposed to bear false witness against your neighbor. You're not supposed to say anything that's not true about your neighbor. That is a misconception of scriptures. And you're just saying, listen, if you go around through the whole Bible trying to find ways of getting around stuff, your heart's not right with God anyway. Amen? But anyway, Proverbs 14:5 says this, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So there you go, right there. Okay? If you will bear false witness, you are a liar, and that's all there is to it. We don't like to be called liars. We get mad and somebody says something that, that's not, that you say something and they say, well, that's not true. And boy, we get all bristled up and we just get and make ourselves real big and say, are you calling me a liar? And it's like nobody wants to be called a liar, but the truth is, if you lie, then what is that? Okay? You're a liar. If you lust, you're a luster. Okay? If you steal, you're a stealer. You're a thief. If you do the things the Bible says, the Bible tells you not to do, and you do them, that's exactly who you are and what you are. So for anybody to stand up all cocky and arrogant and everything like that and say, you call me, I'm not a liar. I'll not do it.
Just be careful. Okay? You may not have been caught that time, but you were caught. God's catching you for some other time. How do you know that's how mom and dads work? Amen? They may not have whooped you for that. When you got in trouble and you didn't really do it, they may have whooped you. And you can be mad all you want to that you got a whipping for something you didn't do. But the truth of it is, you got away with something last week and God's just catching up with you. Amen? That's just how it is. So thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor includes all lies, anything that is not truth. And by the way, there is no shades of truth. There's no half-truth. Amen? There's not degrees of truthfulness. There is total truth or there is no truth. And that's just how it is. God separates things like that. Amen? We're the ones that come up with degrees of lies or degrees of truthfulness. And that in itself is dishonest. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. I'm going to kind of go through some things here real quick. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things that the Lord hates. You listen to this. If God hates it. God hates it. Seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. Amen? I'm going to have you say amen seven times. God hates a proud look. Amen? Number two, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's a good one, isn't it? That'll nail our hide to the wall. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. That's why little kids can run faster than adults can. Amen? Because they can get into mischief quicker than anybody. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, I like how that's phrased. Discord is a seed. And it's only about that big. Okay? And by the way, there's some things in here that gossip and lying kind of go hand in hand. Sowing discord and lying kind of go. How many of you get what I'm saying? When you gossip or when you sow discord, those two things and lying, they kind of go hand in hand. Nine times out of ten, when you gossip or you sow discord about somebody, you're probably not telling the whole truth about it. Stop and think about it. Okay? Anyway, watch. Let me move on here. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 32. The Bible says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren brought in, unawares brought in, who came in privily, despired our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now that's just some generalized verses here, and I'm going to kind of get into the specific list here in just a minute. But I want you to think about who is it that's going to go to heaven? Who is it that's going to go to heaven? If I were to ask you this morning, would you like to go to heaven? Would you please raise your hand? I'm raising my hand. I would like to go to heaven. Listen, I've thought about it. I don't like hell. Don't like anything. I hate hell. Listen, I'm glad summertime's over. That's how much I hate hell. Amen? Listen, it was hot, and I really don't want to go to a place that's any hotter than what it was this summer. And I can tell you that hell is a lot hotter than any place on this. I think the record temperature somewhere is about 130 degrees. That's hot. Hell's hotter than that. Amen. Lake of Fire is hotter than that. And I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to go, and I don't want you to go either. Somebody say amen. And we talked about last week, adulterers don't go, and the thieves have their place in the lake of fire. Now, Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, the Bible says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. Liars, you know, when your mama said, you know where liars go to hell. You know what she was doing? She was telling you what the Bible said. Liars will go to hell. Liars will go to hell. If you're sitting here today and you're living some kind of false lifestyle, you put out the dog like you're really a good Christian and this, that, and the other, but you're living a false lifestyle before God and you're not even honest with yourself, can't even be honest with God, there's something wrong with you and you'll burn in hell. You know who the number one person to at least be honest to is God. Because if you even lie about your own sins, God will not forgive you. Can I hear you say amen? So anybody that maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. By the way, you don't want God to turn the tables on, do you? You go through life living a lie and tell everybody lies and lies coming out of your mouth all the time and you lie to God and then you go stand before and you've been told that God, your name is written down and you're going to go to heaven and then all of a sudden God pulled the rug out from under you and you say, well, I lied about it. I'm just kidding. I'm not taking you into heaven. That's not God. And it's not godly either. Amen? Revelation 22 verse 15. For without are dogs. Okay? No, your dog is not going to heaven. Oh, man. Without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I want to stop right here and let you think about this for a minute. Those who lie are not going to heaven. Those who love lies are not going to heaven. Take your Bible very quick. God's added something here very fast. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians. Are you there yet? Come on, zippity-doo-dah, right on over there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. In fact, let's go back to verse 9 so you get the context. This is about the man of sin, the son of perdition. Verse 9, the Bible says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. And verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the what? Love of the truth. Now I'm going to tell you about the contradictions that are in Michael Hoggard's life. Okay? My flesh loves to be dishonest. It loves to lie. It hates the truth. That's my flesh. Okay? And by hating the truth, I mean the truth of the Word of God. My flesh hates it. My flesh hates all the rules and regulations and the thou shalt nots of the Bible. Let's be honest. Can I hear somebody else who agrees with that say amen? Amen. You're just as wicked as I am, and there's no way around it. And I want to tell you something. Would you like for Bethel Church to be a blessing to this lost community out here? Would you like for Bethel Church to be a blessing? And I've been stressed and emphasized over the years, let's at least be honest about who we are. Okay? Now, if you don't like that kind of honesty, there's churches in this town that'll fit your bill for you. They'll make you feel good. They'll tell you there's nothing wrong with your life. They will not mention your sin. In fact, they won't mention it because they want you to keep putting money in the plate and don't want you to go anywhere else. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to be... Listen, we can't be perfect. Amen? We can't be perfect. We can't be totally righteous. We can't be totally sin-free. But we can at least be honest that we're not. Amen? That way, when the praise and the glory is ready to be distributed, it's distributed not to Bethel Church, but it's distributed to the Lord Jesus Christ where it belongs to begin with. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If it said anything about this church, that we ought to have a love of the truth. Amen? Even the stuff that we don't like. And every now and then, listen, I know for a fact every now and then I'll get up here and I'll preach a sermon and there'll be somebody sitting there, somebody watching out on the internet, and they'll go, I don't like that. I'm not saying I'm right all the time. But if I'm reading out this book right here and it says that it's this way, then it's this way. And if you don't love that, there's something wrong in your spiritual life. I'd get it right with God. And maybe it's just your flesh trying to conquer over you and you just get out on your face before God and say, God, defeat it. Knock it down. Get rid of it. I want to know the truth. Listen, the truth shall make you what? The Bible does not say the truth shall set you free. That's some other Bible. Did you know what the difference between setting free and making free is? Opening the door to the canary cage. You open the door to the canary cage, that canary does not have to fly out. But you open the door to the canary cage and reach in there and take that little birdie out, take him outside, throw them up in the air, you've made that canary free. And that's what the truth will do. And I want to tell you something. God birthed us to want to be free. To have freedom. Amen? To have a clear conscience. Not have a burden that we're dragging around all the time. I can't, listen, I can't handle that, and nobody else can either. And so the thing you need to do is you need to get honest before God. You don't have to tell everybody your stupid, nasty, stinking sins, and thank God you don't. Thank God that once a quarter we don't all get up here and grab the microphone and say, well, pastor's making me tell this, and I don't, but you know, he said I have to do this if I want to go to heaven. Because you know what? You wouldn't tell the truth anyway. Amen. Bradley comes over here. He comes. He finally breaks down and says, I'm going to go to Bethel Church. And he comes sneaking in over there and he sat down next to me. He told me, he said, they make me up to Mormon Church, confess my sins to the bishop. And I just went, that's Roman Catholicism. He said, no, I got to confess my sins to the bishop. And the Holy Ghost was whispering in my ear, Mike, say this. I said, you don't tell him everything, do you? And he looked at me, he said, no. You know what he did? He looked down. You know what that is? I'm not proud. And I said, but you can tell everything to Jesus, can't you? And the Holy Ghost put a King James Bible verse in his head. Let us therefore go boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Somebody say amen. I have told God everything. Not holding nothing back. You know why? Because I want to be forgiven. I want to have my conscience clear before God. And I thank God we don't have to get up in front of everybody and tell everybody our nasty, secret, dirty, filthy, nasty sins and everything we've ever done wrong. By the way, you don't have to do that to some priest or some bishop either. Amen? That whole deal makes Roman Catholicism a lie in itself, because I don't believe people tell everything that's going on. Because they, down deep inside, they know that priest knows who they are sitting in there. Amen? And they're not about to do it. But you can tell God everything, all right? But it says here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And if you don't love truthfulness and you don't love at least a little bit of honesty in your life toward God, you will not and are not saved. You just want to keep living a lie. And so you'll pick and choose the church that you go to based upon how much of the truth they're going to tell you. Okay? And now look at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them what? Listen, if you want to believe a lie, God will give you a whole big dose of it to believe. And I want to tell you something. I believe that there's coming a time, and I believe in some people it already happens, but I believe there's coming a time right now when God's going to draw a line, just like He did in the days of Noah. God's going to draw a line, and He's going to say, this is it right here. Those people who sat in church or those people who justified their own actions and they believed in lies and they didn't want to know the truth, and this, God's going to cut them off and He's going to send them strong delusion, and billions of people in this world are going to believe the lie. You know what that lie is? They're worshiping Lucifer and they think it's God. They don't know the difference. Some people are already like that now. And I'm just telling you, lying is one of those things that if we're not careful, We'll damn our souls to hell with our deceitfulness and our lies. But let me move on. I read some verses a while ago, and let me just kind of go make a list here real fast of some things that we ought to be honest in. Psalm 119, 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And so in a born-again Christian's life, You kind of start making a checklist of things in your life that you're not being upright about, not being honest about. And we've kind of read some verses here a while ago, but let's kind of go over the list very, very fast. Number one, false business or financial dealings. False business dealings or financial dealings. Do not, as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, be dishonest in anything when it comes to financial deals. You get them out there. Okay, you don't want to say amen. And I you say, well, I don't do business. I'm talking about when you sold that car. I'm talking about when you put that car out there on the lot, put a big for sale sign on there, and the fella said, well, does it run good? Yeah. That had a big question mark on it. And if he's smart, he'll hear that question mark in thin air. Okay? How many of you have ever had a situation where a used car salesman lied through his teeth to you? Okay? I'm not saying they all do it. Okay? Or a new car salesman. Okay? or any other kind of salesman there is out there, make sure that you're telling the truth. Can I hear you say amen? If you have any kind of business deal with anybody for any reason, I don't care if it's over a dollar bill, make sure that you're being honest. You know, hey, in financial deals, why? Let's examine our motives now for a minute. Why would we be dishonest in a financial dealing? You know what you're doing? You're selling your own soul. You want $100 more for whatever it is, and so you misrepresent it and you lie about it. And you know what? God will catch you. God will catch you. That person may never catch you, but God will catch you. And God will get you for that. This is one of those God will get you for that messages. Amen? God will get you for that. So make sure when you do any kind of financial dealings with anybody, that when you give your word, you keep your word. And you make it right. And if you know that car is a lemon, and you sell it to somebody, and they come back on you, and they say, listen, you sold me a piece of junk. I asked you specifically about this, and you didn't say anything, or you lied to me about it. You know what you ought to do? Give them the money back and get the car. In fact, give them the money back and let them keep the car. I didn't hear one amen about that. Did you know that God will reward you double, triple, 30, 60, 100? How many of you believe that?
Amen.
You can tell we got a preacher in the house. Amen. He's wanting to jump up here and preach this so bad he can't stand it. Amen. How about this? A false testimony in court. If you ever are called into court, whether you're a defendant or any other deal, listen, you just act like that you're still swearing on the Bible. Amen. Even though they don't do that anymore, they have you raise your hand and say, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And they put out the whole, so help me God. They don't make you put your hand on a Bible anymore. But you just act like that's how it is. Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And if you say it's yes, then it's yes. And if you say it's no, it's, you know, listen, how is our reputation gauged by people around us? By our words. How's God's reputation gauged? By His Word. I'm going to get into that in a minute. All right? I'm not going to pass up a message and preach on the perfection of the Bible. Do not give a false testimony in court, whether you're a defendant or whether you're a witness of any kind. Do not give a false testimony in court. If you're afraid you're going to lose the case, then put it in God's hands. And once it's in God's hands, God will either win it for you or lose it for you. And if He loses it for you, He's got a plan. Amen. Do not ever lie to cover your sins. That's the worst thing in the world to do, to lie to cover your sins. Why is it that children lie? 99 times out of 100, why do children lie to us? Okay? And you can just imagine what part they're trying to cover. And young people, if you'll lie to your parents, you'll lie to God. You listen to that. You listen to this preacher tell you. You listen to this former child liar. Do not lie to cover your own sins. Okay? Do not lie about... Oh my goodness. I'm telling Mike Hoggard right now. Do not lie about your homework. Man, I lost that on the bus. You did not. You didn't do it. Lazy thing. You come home, get off the bus, your mom and dad say, you got any homework? No. You liar. Don't lie to cover your own sin. Don't lie to get out of work. Is your room clean? Yeah. It ain't clean. You liar. You develop habits as a child. You lie to cover up your sins as a child, and you'll lie all through life. Okay? Watch some of these cop shows. When they arrest these guys and they find drugs in their car, what's the first thing of the day? Mine. You found that in my car? They had one guy pulled over. And they asked him repeatedly, do you have any drugs on you? No. Do you have any drugs on you? No. Do you have any drugs on you? No. Pull your empty pockets out. He empties all his pockets out and everything like that. Do you have any drugs on you? No. That cop knew something. And he finally told the guy, he said, pull your shoes off. And the camera was right down on his feet. Pull your shoes off, okay? Now pull your socks off. He pulled his socks off, a little, I don't know what it was, a little baggy of stuff, rolled out of the bottom of his sock, and then he kind of kicked it back like that. And the cop said, there it is right there. He said, what? That came out of your sock. No, it didn't come out of my sock. Don't lie about your sins. Like I say, thank God we don't have to get up and tell everybody everything we've ever done. But you tell God. Don't lie about someone to hurt them or demean them. Did you listen to that? Do not lie about someone to hurt them or demean them. That's an amen one. And I said this before, I'll say it again. Loose lips do what? That's kind of hard to say, isn't it? Loose lips sink ships. 9 times out of 10, when you gossip about somebody, you're inflating the truth. It's not totally right. Can I hear you say amen? You know why we talk about people? Make us look better. It is God that justifies. If you want to look better in somebody's eyes, let God do it for you. Amen? Let me tell you a little secret. Somebody that will gossip to you will gossip about you. Amen. So do not lie about someone to hurt them or to demean them. Do not deceive governmental authorities. Amen? Okay, cop pulls you over. He caught you doing 65 and a 30. I had to go to court. 55 and a, I think it was a 30. Coming out of Hillsboro. I couldn't pay the ticket off. I had to go to court. My wife was with my kids. I'm going to tell you what, God was just ringing my bell in that courtroom. And I stood before that judge and God said, guess who this is? And that lady pulled out a manila envelope with my charges in it. And God said, guess who that is? It's the accuser of the brethren. And the Holy Ghost said, now, Mike, how are you going to plead? Because they asked me, how do you plead? And I said, guilty. And I asked for the mercy of the court. You know what that judge did? He said, I will give you a 1-year suspension and sentence. And that means that if you keep the speed down and keep your nose clean for a year, this will go away and it'll be as if, it. Listen to this, it'll be as if it had never happened before. And I had money in my pocket to pay the fine. So I took my wife and kids out for ice cream that night. We had a little party. Now, listen to this now. But I did have to pay the court costs. You know what that is? There's always earthly consequences. But I wasn't complaining. Okay? Do not deceive governmental authorities of any kind. Do not be deceiving to your own children. I'm going to preach that one first. Do not deceive your own children. Amen. Amen? Don't lie to your kids. And kids, don't lie to your mom and dad either. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I learned this. I'm going to tell you what. I would rather my kids take a baseball bat and ring me upside the head as I would for them to lie to me. There is nothing that hurts worse to a parent than for a kid to lie to them. Nothing. Don't deceive your children. Don't deceive your own. Don't deceive your parents. Do not be a false witness in church. Amen. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Who in here is a sinner? Vile, nasty sinner. The worst kind. Keep going. Do not be a false witness in church. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want a church where somebody comes in here acting like they just don't do anything wrong. They're pillars of the community. They're in here for this is a social club to them. This is not a social club, although we'd like to have a little fun. Amen? We like to eat. Okay? Anytime we can get a dish of ice cream, we're here. Amen? Okay? But the lost man can see it. Because he wasn't here Sunday when you testified, but he was there Monday when he saw your life. And so maybe we'll have a Sunday where we invite the people that you work with to come to church and have them testify about you. Some of you are going, well, it's warm in here, isn't it? I love you. I love this church, and I love my family, and I love the Lord, and I don't like myself a lot. One of the things early on, when God really began to deal with me, it was about being honest with myself. Bonnie, if Roy were here, he would stand up and testify that the first thing he had to do was get honest. He was a drunk. They'd use terms like alcoholic or this and that and the other, but he was a drunk. And he denied it for a long time. Okay? But he finally had to get honest. And I want to tell you something. The Roy that I know now, I didn't know the old Roy. The Roy I know now I like. Because Roy, whether he's sitting here or not, will not mind me preaching about him and about how he used to be. You know why? That's because he's come to grips with that's who he is. You know what we like to do? We like to think of ourselves as being up here. And the truth is, we're not. It ain't a one of you. There ain't a one of you that's up here. Not even me. So let's not have a false witness in church. Amen? I went to Bible college with a guy. I am not a violent person. I wanted to punch him in the mouth every time I saw him. He was all the time. Jamie, how you doing? Jesus, brother, I'm spreading His word. Woo! Listen. I am not exaggerating. The more you got around him, the more he kind of put off the sense to you that he was just completely sold out to Jesus, never had a problem, never. I mean, that's the way. And I want to tell you something. He was lying through his teeth. Anybody that acts like they feel that way all the time, there's something not. I know some people in some institutions that are in, they're happy all the time. So don't be a false witness. Don't do false prophecies. Harold Camping is going to die and go to hell if he don't admit that he was wrong about the rapture on May 21st. And I want to tell you something. It may not be necessarily be in this church, but those of you watching me right now, and I want to say it. I'm behind my pulpit, which means I like to hide behind here. Okay. I'm going to say this real loud and I'm going to say it real strong. If you email prophecies, dates about when Jesus is going to come back and this and that, and I've gotten them from you, cut it out. I do not set dates in this ministry or in this church or with anything I do. I'm not a date setter. God took me out of that. about as soon as he put me in this ministry, God said, now, we're not going to do this, Mike. Because Harold Camping set out a false date, and you know what? He's a joke! He's a liar! He'd have been better off putting on a clown outfit with a little red nose. Because that's what he's been clowning around with, the truth. Okay? And listen, I may not be saying it to the folks here in this church, but I am saying it out there. And I dare you to drive over here and come and get me. Okay? I can be real bold looking at a camera. And I may not have the nerve to say it to your face. I'm pretty timid that way, but I'm saying it now. Unless it's in here, don't spread it around. Let God be true and every man is a liar. That's what the Bible says. Now, let me get to this, a false witness or a false testimony, and let me get to what the Scripture says, a false witness or a testimony in front of your neighbor. In front of your neighbor. That is the person who lives here, and the person who lives here, and the person who lives here, and the person who lives up the block that knows you. Because they, like I say, they were not here Sunday morning to hear you testify and hear you say amen and hold your King James Bible up in the air, but they drove by your house and saw the Bud Light cans in the trash can. They heard the fight that you and your wife had. Amen? They were looking out the window one night about 11:30 and saw your kids with a group of other kids walking down the road and they said, that's trouble. Amen? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know what that really means? I told Bradley this morning. You know what it means to not bear false witness in front of your neighbor? Don't let them see you carrying an NIV. Amen? Don't you bear that thing and let them see you do it, all right? Hide it in a paper bag if you're going to carry it out or whatever. Anyway, I may not get to the Bible deal or not. But I'm going to tell you something. Your neighbor knows who you really are. Your neighbor knows who you really are. They see you go in and out of your house. They can kind of tell what's going on inside of there. They know what kind of music you listen to. And they know that you pull out of the driveway every Sunday morning about 8:30 or in some cases a little bit later than that. I'm being nice. They see you pull out of the driveway every Sunday morning. They know, and you may not have told them you go to church, but they know the car's gone every Sunday. Don't bear a false witness against them. Because they see your life on Sunday, and they know what it's like the rest of the week, and they'll say, what church they go to? I ain't going there. We got a lot. God's got a lot of cleaning up to do in our lives. Somebody say amen. I will deal with this very quickly. There are false prophets everywhere. They're having false visions, false divination, false prophecies, false dreams, false, I'm getting one from God right now. Ooh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a false, God did not talk to them. And if you just, and you say, well, how do you know? Start reading in Genesis and work your way through. And if you find it in there, then maybe God said that to them. But if you don't find it in here, God did not say it to them. And I'm not backing down from that. And I'm not coming down off that statement. I want to tell you something. If God's going to speak, He's going to do it through this Bible right here. How does God speak to you? When you get up in the morning, open up your Bible. God, listen, God's got more to say to you than you can handle in one day. Amen. It's like, God said it's like eating honey. You can eat a little bit of honey in the morning and that's it. You're done for the day. Amen. Because God has already said more to you than what you can handle. And I want to tell you something. If we're going to be a church, if we're going to call ourselves a church, then we're going to preach it out of this Bible and nothing else. Somebody say amen. And I'm not going to have somebody coming in this church say, now that turning to King James here, now let me preach this. Now, better translation says this. They will not preach this out of this pulpit. Ever again. I don't care if their name's Brady or Bradley. Amen. I don't care if their name's Mike Hoggard or Reg Kelly or Mike Hustle or Lonnie Burks or any of these other guys I've had down here. They will never, I will get up and I will come to this pulpit and I will say, step down. You will not. This is why we don't have denominational meetings here anymore. Because I just decided I'm not going to have them preaching out of NIV Bibles behind this pulpit. Amen. I grew up and I sat down at those pews and I looked up to this pulpit and I still do. I still do. Things have got to be right. Let me tell you about false Bibles real quick. Romans chapter 1 verse 25. The Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You know what they did? They took out 1 John 5:7. That changed the truth of God into a lie. That when they took the phrase the Son of God out of the book of Daniel and replaced it with a son of the gods. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Is what they did. And you got churches going around all over the place handing out Bible tracts with NIV verses and Message Bible verses and everything else in it. You know what they're doing? They're bearing false witness against their own neighbors. I went over there to Kenya and I was just shocked and amazed that they did not have King James Bibles over there. You know what happened? American churches sent cheap, used NIVs, everything else over there. One of the guys that was interpreting for me was embarrassed because the Swahili Bible that he was trying to keep up with me out of so he could translate it, when he got to certain passages, he had to make it up because it wasn't in his Bible. And he was embarrassed. By the way, I love it. I'm not preaching against him. He's a good guy. You pray for him. His name is Michael. He's got him a children's ministry there in Kenya and Uganda and other places. He writes me every now and then, let me know what's going on. I'll tell you what, I love him to death. But you know what? He said, I want the real Bible. He said, I don't want the fake one. He don't want to be accused of bearing false witness to everybody he preaches to. Somebody say amen. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to... I'll be done in a minute, Michaela, all right? She's preaching, wanting to preach with Grandpa, amen? Okay? According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. How many of you want godliness in your life? Be honest. Okay? In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie... God cannot lie. Promised before the world began. You know what it means to, when it says God cannot lie? I cannot touch electrical wires. Amen? I'm not kidding you. I cannot touch electrical wires. And he said, here, Mike, hold it. Nah, I'm all right. God cannot lie. You know what that means? His word's true. Jesus said, thy word is truth. John chapter 17. 1 John chapter 2. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. Now let me just get back to this very quickly. Examine your life. Examine your life. I've just been honest with you today about myself. But there's times when my flesh does not want to tell the truth. It wants to conceal. It wants to hide. It wants to be dishonest. My fleshly pride wants to put me up here and put everybody else down here below. That's sickening. That's wicked for a person to want to do that. But that's how it is. I understand sin. And if you do one thing today from this message, and number one, don't you ever compare yourself to somebody else. You know what you're doing? You're being dishonest. Because while you may never sin this sin, you did sin this one. And you're both the same. I have no right to judge anybody. God won't let me. And He gave you a pastor. I'm being honest. God gave you a pastor that is not allowed to think that he's better than anybody sitting here. God will not let me think that. Okay? So you'll never perceive from me that I'm preaching down my nose at you with a proud look. That's an abomination. But if you can do one thing today, don't compare yourself to anybody else sitting around here. Don't think, boy, I'll tell you what, boy, so-and-so needed to hear that message. Thank God he's preaching to everybody here. If you could do one thing today, whether you want to come down here to the altars or you want to stay right where you are, but if you do one thing today, that is get honest.
Get honest. Okay? See, she wanted to preach, and I wouldn't let her. If you do one thing today, get honest. The Pharisee stood and said, I thank God I'm not like those people out there. And Jesus said, that other fellow said, smote us, he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That man's in heaven. And I want to go there with him. So I'm going to ask you this morning, would you just bow your head? Okay? Just bow your head.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, You take over the reins in my life and You be the Lord of my life. And You give me the promise of Your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.